This episode is brought to you in part by the Acceleron BioAg brand. Harness powerful crop solutions using technology derived from nature. Products from the Acceleron BioAg brand are bioenhancers, primarily containing live microbial organisms. The products help promote increased nutrient and water availability for better yield potential. Acceleron BioAg product offerings are available for canola, wheat, corn, soybean, pulses, and more. Visit AcceleronBioAg.ca for product information and to view BioAdvantage trial results from growers like you. Nature, it's powerful technology. Always read and follow label directions. Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications.
Hi, I'm Robert Arneson of The Western Producer, and welcome to another edition of Between the Rows. In early December, two Canadian universities released the Food Price Report for 2019. Not surprisingly, the report said bread, dairy products, fruits, and vegetables will all be more expensive in 2019. But the document also says that meat prices will decline next year, likely dropping by 1 to 3%. Sylvain Charlebois, an economist and professor at Dalhousie University, was one of the authors of the report. He shared his thoughts on the decline of meat and the rise of plant-based proteins last week while waiting for a plane at the Calgary airport.
Okay, so last question here. So what does this all mean going forward for the, I guess, the cattle industry and the, I guess, pork industry as well? And, you know, all the livestock industries, does that mean that they're going to have to rely on exports to grow their industries because the Canadian industry is really going to be flat or down?
Exports are going to be key. Of course, we've just signed three major deals in the last 5 years. That's going to help. For sure, and the cattle industry needs to, in particular, will need to capitalize on those opportunities.
So the point being, it can be done, but you have to be very thoughtful and careful about how you're going to go about this. It's not just a case of having, as you said, an eat beef campaign. That's not going to do it.
Exactly. In our survey in October, we actually didn't measure meat attachment. And there's a huge number of Canadians that actually fundamentally believe that having access to meat products is a right. It's not just a privilege, it's actually a right. So a lot of people feel strongly about this, and I certainly agree with that. And it is part of our culture. We've grown with beef, but at the same time, there is a lot of people coming from abroad immigrating to Canada, and they've never actually tasted beef, and it's just not part of their culture, and we need to appreciate that.
Sylvain Charlebois is an economist and professor at Dalhousie University, where he studies Canada's food system. He contributed to the 2019 Food Price Report, which was released in early December. Next up, Alberta has more than 5.5 million beef cattle and nearly half of Canada's beef herd. But some livestock experts think the Alberta number should be much higher because conditions have been favorable for herd expansion. Jennifer Blair of the Alberta Farmer Express joins us to explain what's happening in Alberta and why Canada's cattle industry is in a wait-and-see mode. Jennifer joins us from Red Deer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. So first off, can you tell us what's going on with Alberta's cattle herd right now? Are numbers up or down or sideways? What's going on?
Well, Alberta's cattle herd numbers have been pretty steady over the past 5 years, and that's not really expected to change much anytime soon. You know, overall, it was a really tough year for cattle producers in Alberta with bad weather and high feed costs. So right now, we're seeing producers destocking their herds or exiting the business entirely. So that increased marketing has actually put us back at liquidation levels. And Canfax is actually expecting that the Canadian cow herd will be smaller at the start of 2019.
So I guess that's surprising to some people because conditions for the last little while have been, you know, good for herd expansion. Is that right?
Yeah, conditions have been right for herd expansion for the past few years now. Prices began to rise in 2014 and peaked in about 2016, and so that should have been the trigger for the herd to expand. But that didn't happen at the level we were expecting. So the expansion phase of this most recent cattle cycle was historically low at just under 1%. The price signals were there, but what we saw was essentially a missed cycle where the consolidation phase is followed by the liquidation phase rather than expansion. But the good news is that the last time we saw a missed cattle cycle in the early 1980s, the Canadian cattle industry had one of its largest expansions right after. And that could happen again thanks to some of our recent trade deals.
Okay. So speaking of trade deals, I guess you spoke to some producers and feedlot operators in Alberta to kind of get their sense about these trade deals. What are they saying about the trade deals like the Canada-Europe deal? What's their feeling or sense of this deal?
I think many Alberta beef producers see CETA as a bit of a joke. You know, cattle exports into the EU have gone up a modest amount since it was ratified. They're about 25% higher than last year, but only one of Canada's major packers is able to ship cattle there because of the restriction on carcass washes. And because of that, producers haven't really stepped up to produce higher quantities of cattle that meet the EU's hormone-free beef requirements. Producers aren't getting the price signal that it's worth the trouble of going through the certification process right now. So because of that, Canada is way below its quota-free access in the EU. It's a market that could be worth about $300 million for Canada, but at the moment, we're only hitting about $5.4 million of that. So it'll take a little while for that to change. Okay. I think beef producers are a little bit more optimistic about the TPP, though. Demand for Canadian beef is strong in Asia, particularly Japan. And with the tariff reductions on beef going into that market, producers are seeing a lot more potential there than the EU.
Okay. So just getting back to the carcass washes and the EU restrictions, can you just expand upon that a little bit so I understand what you're talking about?
Sure. So from what I understand, Canada has a carcass wash that's essentially, I think, citric acid that's quite safe. You know, the science says it's safe, but the EU doesn't want it. It won't accept beef that has gone through this carcass wash. And because of that, we only have one Canadian packer in all of Canada that's not doing that carcass wash. So that really limits the amount of Canadian beef that can go in from major packers in Canada.
Okay. So it sounds like the way you're describing it is that producers aren't really totally convinced that there is an opportunity here, that they're taking sort of a wait-and-see attitude when it comes to expansion. You know, what's your sense of what are they waiting for? What kind of market signal do they want to get?
Well, producers have been stuck in wait-and-see mode largely because of factors outside their control. You know, bad weather, trade uncertainty, increased costs. Up until now, expanding their herds really didn't pencil out. But with these major trade deals finalized, producers are now likely seeing a little bit more certainty in the market, and that could spur them to start expanding their herds as long as the price signals are strong enough. Okay. But if, you know, we're entering another liquidation phase, we may still be a few years off from that herd expansion. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see, too.
I guess one factor as well is that, you know, quite a few beef producers are kind of getting close to retirement age. Maybe they're not interested anymore in expanding. Is that a big factor as well? Is that the sort of the demographic of cattle farmers across the prairies is getting to the point where they're now older?
It's definitely a huge challenge that we're seeing here in Alberta and likely across the country. You know, farmers are, in a way, aging out of the industry. They don't really want all the work that goes with cattle. And new guys aren't coming up in the industry as quickly to replace them. So, you know, we've seen production efficiencies that have increased the amount of beef, you know, a guy can get from an individual animal. So that's kind of helping offset that. But, you know, we've got, it's expensive to be a farmer. It's hard to be a farmer in Alberta right now. So, you know, it's hard for producers to make the case for staying in the industry and for new producers to make the case for entering the industry.
Okay. And last one, you know, based on your conversations, are you sensing optimism among folks in the beef industry in Alberta, or people cautious, or people pessimistic? What's your sense of the mood?
I think they're a little bit cautiously optimistic. I think, you know, things like the TPP have helped turn the mood a little bit, but again, they're just kind of waiting to see if it will pan out as promised. I know that CETA was full of big promises, and you know, the deal hasn't really delivered on those promises. So until they actually see that the market expansion is there in those Asian countries, you know, they're kind of cautiously optimistic. They're not holding their breath that things will turn around entirely, but I think that they're hopeful.
Okay. Thanks, Jennifer. I've been speaking with Jennifer Blair, a reporter with Alberta Farmer Express. Thanks for coming on the show,
thanks
Jennifer.
So
I appreciate it. I'm Robert Arneson of the Western Producer, and this is Between the Rows. This autumn has been tough on the Canadian dollar. In early October, the loonie topped 78 cents US, but over the last 9 weeks, it has consistently fallen and now trades below 75 cents. Join us to talk about the loonie and other news from the commodity markets is Bruce Burnett, Director of Weather and Markets Information with Glacier Farm Media. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
So you've seen the charts. The loonie has been kind of consistently headed downwards for the last, I guess, 9 weeks or so. What's been the factors kind of pushing the loonie downward?
Well, I think there are a number of factors that have been pushing the loonie downwards. I think the primary one has actually been the strength of the U.S. dollar itself. The U.S. dollar has been very strong into about a week ago when it started to weaken off a bit. But still, if you look back at it, it's trading at some very strong levels here. Much of that's to do with their economic performance. Their economy is still going strong. In Canada, however, we have a little bit of a different situation. Certainly the biggest concern right now, I think, for the loonie is the fact that crude oil prices, especially that big differential between West Texas and what we get, yep, in Western Canada, is really pressuring the loonie itself. So that's one of the causes of this. The other thing is, it's sort of interesting to see, like, since we signed the trade agreement in October, the direction has been mostly downwards. And I think maybe part of this, a lot of people were worried about it going up, but really when we step back from the situation, the trade agreement probably didn't have that big of an impact versus some of just the more fundamental economic factors.
Okay.
So that's what's going on with the loonie.
So what are you sort of watching for or expecting over the next couple of months when it comes to the loonie? Because obviously we know that, you know, a weaker loonie does help Canadian agriculture commodities. Are you expecting the loonie to continue to decline to the lower 70s, or where do you think this bottoms out?
I think we're probably going to bottom out here between the 72, 74 cent level. We're trading right now just below the 75 cent level. Again, a lot of this is going to pin on oil prices. We've already seen those differentials in Western Canada narrow in quite rapidly. So the oil story may go away here. But when you look at the overall Canadian economy, it's still not as strong as the U.S. And I think the Bank of Canada is going to really hesitate to move interest rates higher, whereas I think the Federal Reserve in the U.S. will be still raising rates higher in 2019.
Okay. So shifting gears to canola. As well, I guess canola has seen a different trend the last couple of weeks where canola futures have gone up. They haven't like skyrocketed, but they have a sort of an upward trend. What's your sense of what's happening there? Does that have any legs, that trend, or is this something that's going to peter out? What are you expecting?
Well, I think I would characterize this canola market as sort of a grinding higher market right now. It's struggling. Again, it's got a lot of its fortunes tied to soybeans, and soybeans' fortunes are tied to the U.S.-China trade wars that are going on right now. So that's a very unpredictable thing. We did get some news from Buenos Aires that they're going to work on the agreement over the next 3 months. But if you remember what it was like during the U.S., Mexico, Canada trade negotiations, it's probably going to be much the same. We're going to see ups, we're going to see downs. But I think my fundamental view is that soybeans probably are going to appreciate a bit, but until we get an agreement, they really aren't going to go that much higher, and I think canola is going to be the same way. Again, you'll have to, you know, take a look at the Canadian situation. Our exports are strong. Crush demand is strong. So as long as those two factors remain in place, we will see prices appreciate as we move further on, especially as we get into the spring months and supplies get a lot tighter than they currently are.
Just continue with canola. So StatsCan came up with some estimates last week that were a bit lower than maybe some people thought. Does that matter? Does that have any influence on the market, do you think, long term?
Well, I think it was positive that we didn't see the number increase, let's say. But it wasn't that much lower that it really creates an issue with the balance sheet. So even though we're seeing these strong exports and strong internal demand from the crush industry for canola, I don't think we're going to see basically an ending stock situation at the end of the year develop that it's extremely tight. So the market's already priced that in. That's one of the reasons why we haven't gone up. But certainly it would take something like unexpected demand or another cut to production sometime along in the future here, which doesn't usually happen until next July, that right. We could see it move the needle there on prices.
Okay. So last one here. So the big news, I guess, in Canada-China relations last week was the arrest of a Huawei executive at the Vancouver airport. Do you think this has any kind of long-term implications for Canada-China relations and, of course, our exports of commodities to China? What do you think this all means?
Well, again, certainly I think we're going to see some retaliation from China for this. Again, just to clarify, this is a U.S. arrest warrant that Canada has detained the Huawei executive with. So it's partially related, again, back to that U.S.-China trade issues, although they've stated emphatically that this is about the Iran sanctions and not about any trade thing, although I find that hard to believe myself. But anyway, I think, again, for Canada, we were probably going to see some sanctions. I would doubt if China would put on any tariffs. They certainly could. They could make even some non-tariff barriers here. If you look at the first quarter of our marketing year, our exports increased of the major grains and oilseeds by about 570,000 tons from the previous year. The primary beneficiary of that increase was soybeans. And again, with Brazil's production coming on stream in a couple of months or a month or so, really Canadian exports were going to drop off anyway. So, but I would like to think that we're not going to see any sanctions on our exports.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. You've been listening to Bruce Burnett, Director of Weather and Markets Information with Glacier Farm Media. Thanks for coming on the show, Bruce.
Thanks.
That's it for today's show, the 100th episode of Between the Rows. I'm Robert Arneson of The Western Producer. Thanks for listening.
Today's program was brought to you in part by the Acceleron BioAg brand. Acceleron BioAg products harness the powerful technology of nature to release soil-bound nutrients, helping promote nutrient availability at the plant root. Accelerate crop performance with powerful bioenhancers aimed at promoting nutrient and water uptake and improved yield potential. Nature. It's powerful technology. Always read and follow label directions.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.